Today is the feast of the commemoration of all the faithful departed, also called All Souls Day. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all indeed rise, but we shall not all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality. But when this mortal body puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the word that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 5, verses 25 to 29. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is here, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, even so he has given to the Son also to have life in himself, and he has granted him power to render judgment, because he is Son of Man. Do not wonder at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who have done good shall come forth unto resurrection of life. But they who have done evil unto resurrection of judgment. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This even though this Mass, this liturgy, has the overriding tone of mourning and sorrow, as shown in the black vestments and in the violet covering of the altar and the tabernacle, symbolizing penance. There's also the adornment of silver on these beautiful vestments. Symbolizing hope. Because it is of great desire of Holy Mother the Church to concentrate all our attention, all of heaven, all the our Lord in heaven, the Blessed Mother, all the angels and saints, along with the faithful on earth, are now concentrating on praying for and assisting all the poor souls in purgatory, especially those that we each pray for, our relatives, our parents who have passed away, Father Violette, and all the thousands of names from all over the country and the world who are on our altar today. So we pray for them. We should pray every day of the year, but especially today, and many times today. These souls, they're called poor because they are in need of help. And Holy Mother, the Church has given us a great grace, a great gift to practice this beautiful spiritual work of mercy, to pray for the living and the dead. The corporal work of mercy is to bury the dead, but the spiritual one is to pray for them. So this day, as it has been the custom from the very beginning of the church, we pray for our deceased friends and relatives. Now, praying for the dead is a practice that has been done from the beginning of time. From Adam and Eve all the way up to today. Every culture, even false religions, pray for the dead. It's just part of being a human being. We feel sad when they die. And we want to help them. And we don't know where a soul goes when they depart from this life, from their bodies. We pray, God forbid, that they did not go to hell. But one sign that a person is saved, it's not definite, but that people pray, God inspires us to pray for a particular person, and they're probably in purgatory depending on our prayers at that moment. In the last book of the Old Testament, Book of Maccabees, second book, there is the story of Judas Maccabeus, who was a very zealous Hebrew and a great soldier, and led his men to restore the altars and the places of worship to their rightful position if they had been destroyed by enemies and by pagans. So in this battle, after the battle, they found some men who had fought valiantly for the honor of God. And this is in the Old Testament, just a few hundred years before Christ. But then they were looking at the bodies and they opened up their cloaks and they found that they had stolen valuable objects. So they, which is forbidden to steal things from the pagans. Everything had to be destroyed. So they thought that they should pray for them that they may be loosed from their sins. They may be freed from their sins because even though they were good men, they had made a mistake, committed a sin. So the Jews thought we have to pray for them. Now the Protestants, who claim that all their revelation is from the Bible, say that these two books are not part of the Bible, the books of Maccabees. So they deny that this is revelation. So they will have their judgment because of their ill will, so many of them who deny purgatory. Now the Saint Odilo in the 4th, rather in the 10th century, he was the 4th abbot of Cluny, and he instituted this feast of All Souls Day over 1,000 years ago. And then, because Cluny was so influential all over Europe in terms of its presence of monks and priests bishops and popes who were there came from there. Now there's just a few ruins left, which I saw. We visited there a few decades ago. The enemies of Christ during the French Revolution hated Cluny, this beautiful monastery and gigantic church, that instead of leaving it as a historical monument, or even converting it to a temple or something, they destroyed virtually all of it. But because of this feast being celebrated at Cluny, it spread to the whole church. Now in our society, when someone dies, they think, now they're in heaven. They've gone to a better place. Isn't it interesting that so many people who don't even believe in heaven or talk about it, when their friend dies, oh, they went to heaven. They can't help it because they don't want to think that their friend or relative went to hell. And that's because really everybody believes in heaven and hell. Even if they deny it, they say they don't, they really do believe it. And they're either too irreverent or lazy to pray for their departed friend or relative. Well, here we pray, and we pray earnestly and fervently. Now, the dogma of purgatory can be summed up in two main parts. First of all, it is a place that exists. It is a place. It is believed to be under the earth and is a temporary place for a soul if he or she is guilty of venial sin that is not atoned for, or for temporal punishment due to sins already forgiven, but they have to make up for their sins. Now we think, even all of us, we think of purgatory as we've learned and been instructed over the years, terrible sufferings. A place we want to avoid. However, it is a great place of mercy, of peace, in the midst of those sufferings, because when these souls die, these persons, they leave behind their bodies, and right at the moment their soul leaves the body, a person goes to, if they're a great saint and very holy, to go straight to heaven, or maybe a very brief time in purgatory. I'm talking about saints. If a person is very evil and hates God and doesn't want to go to heaven and is not sorry for his or her sins, they will go to hell, especially if they're serious sins. But if a person is guilty of venial sins and is not guilty of a mortal sin when they die, they have to be purified to be in the presence of God. And it is often depicted that with the gates of heaven, that God is there as a judge, and a person wants to go in and they're denied because they are not worthy yet. That's not the way it is. The person is anxious to go to purgatory because he's not worthy to be in the presence of God yet. He's ashamed of his sins and his worldly attachments that he died possessing. So God in his mercy created this place that will end at the end of time. Purgatory will end. He didn't give this to the angels because they had such great knowledge and penetration into truth, and they knew that they were supposed to love God instead of disobeying him, that they were denied a place of purification. But because we are weaker creatures, especially after the fall of Adam, and we inherit original sin, we are dragged down by sin. And so God wants us so much to go to heaven with Him, that if we have a good and right heart, and we're sincere and we love Him, and we've struggled to be holy and to pray, even sinning sometimes, but we realize, because we at least have some humility, that we have to turn back to God. God doesn't forget that. Especially if a person has the privilege of receiving the sacrament of extreme unction, that can take away all temporal punishment, and the person can actually go straight to heaven. So we have gifts of these sacraments of penance, extreme unction, and viaticum, Holy Communion, just before dying. That can lead us to a very short purgatory or straight to heaven. The second part of this dogma of purgatory is that the souls there can be prayed for. We, the faithful, part of the mystical body of Christ, can pray for these poor souls in purgatory. And you know what? It's not just our prayers, but our good works. Doing a good work for the souls of purgatory can even have greater value than our prayers. Especially if we have the intention to do that. And that's why when we say our morning offering, we end it with, I wish to gain all the indulgences attached to the prayers I shall say and the good works I shall perform this day. So those good works, along with our prayers, can help us and the souls in purgatory. Because we've, whether it's a year or two or for 40 years that we've been assisting or offering this Mass, hearing sermons about purgatory, putting the envelopes on the altar each year, it's almost routine, and that's a beautiful thing, but we forget how great a work that is, that these souls mentioned at all three Masses at this altar today, and at all the Masses of the priests, this community, and for the whole month of November, are prayed for. And then, of course, all of you know that it is important to have Masses offered for the souls in purgatory, for your deceased relatives and friends. Now, one thing we have to remember, why purgatory exists. As I alluded to a moment ago, is because of the love and mercy of God. Remember, it says in the scripture that God loved us even before we existed. So it's created by love, but it exists because of sins on our part. God extends a merciful hand to us and tells the soul, you have to spend some time to be purified so you can be worthy to be in my presence. Now, even though we think of it as a good work to pray for the souls in purgatory, it's really more than that. We are members of the mystical body of Christ. So Christ is at the head, and the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all the saints. The angels, strictly speaking, are not part of the mystical body, but they are related to it. And then we have all the faithful on earth. Faithful, meaning those who believe everything the church teaches. Not most of it, not picking and choosing and denying this doctrine or modernizing this or wishy-washy. That's not Catholic. The Catholic believes everything, clearly and distinctly. And then the faithful departed, those who died in the state of grace. And so there's this interaction among the members of the mystical body of Christ. Because the saints in heaven also pray for the souls in purgatory. And in fact, the souls are so dependent on us that it has been known by the single prayer of one of the faithful on earth, a soul can be released from purgatory on this day. I'm going to read a couple of accounts in a moment about saints or holy people that have had experiences of purgatory, but I just want to explain briefly why assisting at Mass and having a Mass offer for the souls in purgatory is so important. The Mass, remember, is the reenactment of Calvary, of the death of Christ. It reenacts the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross, makes it present again. When our Lord actually died on the cross 2,000 years ago, it was bloody, gruesome, and terrible. But he won salvation sufficient to save all men because he's God and his demerits won were infinite. But none of it was applied. He wanted it to be applied to the church that he founded through St. Peter and the apostles and up to this day, to be applied to what he instituted on Holy Thursday after the Last Supper at the first Mass, that the reenactment of his passion and death, especially his death, would apply all these benefits. And along with the merits he won, which are infinite, they're also applied the superabundant merits of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, she's called Queen of Purgatory because it is known that she has visited there to comfort the souls, especially those who are devoted to her, those who are devoted to her when they are on earth. And sometimes, on a day like this, or on her great feast days, like especially the Feast of the Assumption when he went to heaven, when she went to heaven, she saw how beautiful it was. And she looked down from heaven and sees her faithful on earth and the poor souls in purgatory, and through God's will would visit purgatory and then bring those souls to heaven. Isn't that comforting? Imagine the Blessed Mother appearing to a soul in purgatory and come to heaven. Come home. Here is an account of from St. Bridget. She said that she heard the souls in purgatory call to heaven, saying in a loud voice, "O merciful God, reward 100-fold the charity of them that by their good works assist us to come out of this darkness to the eternal light and to attain to thy beatific vision." If the holy souls pray thus to God, whose beloved children they are, will he not hear them? And should we not therefore be inspired with great confidence in their help? Their aid will be for us a continual source of favors. For their prayer possesses all the qualities that render it efficient and pleasing to God, a living faith, great frequency, ardent charity, the purest of intentions. So even though the souls, according to our faith, souls in purgatory are there to be prayed for, it is not unknown, and it is a pious practice to pray to them for assistance. And to speak to them. Do you ever speak to departed souls, those closest to you that died? They hear your words. And one of their greatest sufferings is to be forgotten, to not be remembered. Because sometimes people die, maybe very often, out of sight, out of mind, and they're almost always forgotten. And it has been recorded. There have been times where souls have been near their friends or relatives, even in their own home or near the dinner table, and they wish they'd be remembered. St. Catherine of Bologna testifies that whenever she asked a favor of God, she always had recourse to the holy souls, that she almost always obtained what she asked for. And she adds that many favors, which she did not obtain through the saints of heaven, were granted to her through the intercession of the suffering souls. The Venerable Francis of the Blessed Sacrament assures us that the holy souls assist her in all dangers and to close to her the snares of the devil. A soul appearing to her said, "However much the evil spirits may persecute you, fear not, we will always defend you." Another soul assured her, "We pray daily for you, and as often as anyone remembers us, we also remember him and intercede for him with God. Especially do we implore for him the grace to serve God well and to die a happy death." And then the final story. You may have read the book, The Way of Divine Love, by Venerable Josefa Menendez. She lived about a century ago. She had a very troubled religious life because she was constantly thinking she had to go back home and help her mother and her family, even though she finally broke away and followed her vocation. But soon after she was in the convent, she had numerous apparitions and appearances by our Lord, especially appearing with his Sacred Heart. But here's what happened to her. Josepha never went down into purgatory, but she saw and spoke with a number of souls who came to solicit her prayers. And some told her that thanks to her sufferings, they had escaped hell. These souls, as a rule, humbly accuse themselves of the faults for which they were in purgatory. And here are some of the quotes of these souls to Josepha, what they said to her. Quote, I had a vocation, but lost it by reading bad books. I had also discarded my scapular out of contempt. Another one said, I was given up to a great deal of vanity, and on the point of marrying, our Lord may use of very severe measures to prevent my falling into hell. My religious life was wanting in fervor. Another one said, I have been 1 year and 3 months in purgatory, and were it not for your little acts, meaning those sacrifices of Josepha, Sister Josepha, I should have remained there long years. A woman of the world has less responsibility than a religious, for how great are the graces the latter receives, and what liabilities she incurs if she does not profit by them. Another says, I have been in purgatory till now because during my religious life I talked a great deal with little prudence and often communicated my impressions and complaints, and these indiscretions were the cause of faults against charity which my sisters then committed. She's talking about other sisters in religious life. And here's a quote that Sister Josepha heard from the Blessed Mother. Let all learn from this, commented Our Lady, who was present at the apparition, for many souls fall into this danger. She's referring to giving bad example and scandal by our impious works. Our Lord then appeared to her and stressed this grave warning by these words. That soul is in purgatory because of her faults against silence. For this kind of fault leads many others to sin. The rule is broken. Secondly, there often occur in such feelings sins against charity or religious spirit, personal satisfaction. And without feeling a responsibility not only for oneself, but for one or many others who are led into the same faults. That is why this soul is in purgatory and burning with desire to see my face. The last quote I'll read. I am in purgatory because I did not treat the souls of Jesus entrusted to me with the care they deserved. I allowed myself to be influenced by human motives and natural likes, not seeing in them God as I should have, as all superiors must. She complied to anybody, a parent, employer, superior, government official. Now, we had the Mass yesterday evening, the evening Mass for All Saints Day, and we're telling the people how this chapel is a place of refuge and holiness because of our Lord, of course, is in the Blessed Sacrament, but all the beautiful images here and the statues and especially the relics of the saints, but also on a day like this, we remember what the church is and what this chapel is. It is, as it says on our outside the doors here, it's the house of God and the gate of heaven. So it's like a vestibule, an entrance place to go to heaven, to be close to God, and especially on this day, on All Souls Day. How we can, by our fervent prayers during this Mass, remember the souls. May light eternal shine upon them, O Lord, with your saints forever, for you are gracious. Eternal rest give to them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them with your saints forever. That's the communion antiphon for this Mass. And the post-communion, may the prayer of your suppliant people, we beseech thee, O Lord, benefit the souls of thy servants and handmaids, that thou mayest deliver them from all their sins and make them sharers in your redemption. May God bless you.